Welcome to the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Political Cesspool radio program. Second hour now upon us, coming to you tonight live. It's January the 28th. AM 1380 WLRM Radio in downtown Memphis, Tennessee. Also going out this evening to the AM-FM affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network and simulcasting online to a legion of loyal TPC listeners at thepoliticalcesspool.org. I want to again thank Sam Bushman for joining me during the first hour. If you missed tonight's first hour, I highly encourage you to consult the broadcast archives at thepoliticalcesspool.org after the conclusion of tonight's live show. Catch what Sam and I had to say about the recent developments in the GOP primaries and many other things. Keith Alexander actually in the studio right now, all dressed up and nowhere to go. But we can't have Keith in without him at least saying hi. Keith, tell him what was going on tonight, and then we're going to get to our featured guest. And it is a guest, ladies and gentlemen, that I cannot wait to get to. I've been looking forward to having this guy on the show for a long, long time. Bill Rowland made it happen. By getting him booked this evening. Ramsey Paul, waiting in the wings. We're just about to bring him on, so stay tuned for that. That is the highlight of tonight's show. But first, Keith came in to say, you know, listen, sorry I'm late, but he just had to smell the studio, I guess. It's a Saturday tradition.
Let me tell you, what I had today was an experience right out of 1984 dealing with government bureaucracy at its finest and most obstinate. We had to travel. It was like one of these nightmare dreams where you think you're going to finally end something. You go to one base, and then you go to the next base, and that doesn't solve it. We went to about five or six different governmental agencies being bounced around like a ping pong ball, trying to get something very simple, a signature on a particular document. And we had to go out of state to two different law enforcement agencies to get this done, but it was finally done. And it shows you basically that we live in Soviet America now. This is an America in which, because of the Patriot Act and because of the increased intrusive surveillance in people's lives, nothing, you know, the old America is dead, and this is one way in which it's dead. You're up here in a third world line of humanity trying to carve your way through the bureaucracy just to get the simplest thing done. This was a job application for someone near and dear to me. So this is what you have to do, and it basically shot an entire Saturday. So the only reason I bring this up is, one, James asked for it, and two, it shows you just exactly, you know, boots on the ground reality of what we tell you about on this show every week, how liberalism is the ruination of America, and my day today was a case in point.
Regrettably, and I say that in all sincerity, that will be the only contribution Keith has time to give tonight to the program, but God bless him for coming in here. He had a bad day. He was down in Mississippi and trying to race back to Memphis in time for the show tonight. Came in at the very tail end of the first hour, and of course the first hour is Keith's normal domain, but for him to come in just to say hello to the audience, that goes to show how much he cares for you, and certainly that's reciprocated towards him. But anyway, Keith making the best of his time here in the studio tonight. In addition to that little statement he had to share with you, he is working on an article that's going to be featured at our website next week. So bravo to Keith for being a good soldier. Anyway, now it's time for the main event tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Ramsey Paul making his debut appearance on the show this evening. As I said during the first hour, for months we've been regularly showcasing his hilarious take on the issues at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Wit, sarcasm, satire, he is the master of it. I am a guy that's, you know, I'm kind of OCD. I'm kind of a taskmaster. I don't know exactly the way to do it, to explain what I'm trying to say, but he can take an issue and just turn it on its face. I see something a certain way. He just finds a way to make it funny, and he does it better than anyone else. He minces sacred cows every week at RamseyPaul.com. It's going to be a very memorable interview tonight. Welcome to the show, my friend.
Hey, well, thank you. Yeah, that's a big introduction. I Hope it goes well.
So. No, listen, and well deserved. I came to know you, I guess the first time I ever experienced or saw any of your work was early last year, you did what I thought was just the funniest take on a terrible situation when you did the satire on Jared Taylor's American Renaissance Conference. You know, they got shut down, and you phoned in as Agent Ramsey Paul, and that just had me rolling on the floor, and we were all in distress that week. But that we posted that. That was the first time I ever linked to your work, and I've been a regular fan of yours since then, and, you know, we occasionally put your stuff up for everybody else to enjoy. That's how I came to know you. Many of our listeners tonight on the radio show now also have become fans of your YouTube videos. How long have you been making them?
I started in 2008, and it's funny. It's like it's an accident, because it's before there was Skype was really popular, and I wanted a way to talk to my brother, who also does videos. He does carpentry videos. And so I did it on YouTube, and I didn't put it on private. People started to see it, so it got more and more popular. And I actually belong, it's a now defunct forum. It was called Liberty Forum. It's a libertarian forum. And so I posted a couple of my videos on there, and that's how it all kind of started. And then it kind of grew and grew and grew. So it's a lot of fun.
See, I'm a technophobe. And despite only being 31 years old, I consider it a victory to be able to send an email each day. These things you do actually have, and it comes as no surprise to people who've ever watched them before, but there is some production value attached to this. It's not like you just got your flip cam and it's all, you know, just a 5-minute monologue from you. You add a few bells and whistles to these.
Well, yeah, it's got better. I got better at it. It actually, I started it out as a flip cam, but now I got a little better camera. But it's I like it because I got to do it quick because I don't really have much time to do these. So it kind of tests my improv ability. So it's a little more fun that way, too, because I can keep a fresh take on the issues, whatever's happening during the day.
And that's another thing that people will find when they go to your website. I mean, it's always something that's or almost always something that's in the news. If you want to find a hilarious take on whatever major news story may be happening in America or elsewhere, go to RamseyPaul.com. What led you to start making these video commentaries? Because you tackle some hot button topics just like we do, race and politics.
Yeah, it started, I kind of made my focus cultural Marxism, because most people, they won't touch it for obvious reasons. And cultural Marxism is where you can make fun of whites, you can make fun of men, you can make fun of Christianity. And let's face it, if you're a comedian, you can make fun of those three and you're not going to get into any trouble, right?
Right.
But if you make fun of cultural Marxism, there's a lot of risk. So this kind of a verboten area to make fun of. So it's like this whole area that was just out there to laugh at. And, you know, with my friends and people hung around, we laughed about that anyway, you know, we'd have some beers. So the whole video was just kind of like being with some friends and just talking over a topic over some beers. And so that's how it really started. So I tend to focus on any issue that has to do somehow with cultural Marxism.
And that's what we say, ladies and gentlemen. You want to see the false gods of cultural Marxism skewered. You've got to see any single one of the countless videos that Ramsey Paul has put together since 2008. He said that's when he got started. I didn't come to know him until, I guess, the early part of 2011, and that was my loss. I wish I'd been there from the very beginning. You talked about the improv. How long does it take for you to? Well, we got a break. They're playing our song right now. We got to take a commercial break. Ladies and gentlemen, Ramsey Paul, our guest for the full hour tonight. We are just beginning to scratch the surface. Stay tuned. Much more to come.
Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign Newspaper. It is time for you to read the most daring underground publication. Spreading the word through print, it seeks to enlighten a free people to be knowledgeable with current, important events and take action in their own communities to stop the New World Order agenda of one world government. This publication is so rogue and extremely daring that establishment sources and critics rarely give approval of its content. Featured articles by concerned citizens, prominent whistleblowers, and credible authors. The Sovereign Newspaper is a monthly 32-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about current events in the age of Obama. The Sovereign Newspaper, available now at newsstands everywhere.
So, seen any good movies lately?
No, not really.
Why do you say it like that?
It's just that those movie trailers are so deceptive. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I'll see a commercial for something that looks like a really fun romantic comedy.
Yeah, yeah.
And I go to the theater, and, mm-hmm. well, that's $7.50 I'll never see again.
Disappointed?
Disgusted is a better word. Hey, I did finally find a way to know a movie's content before I go see it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, there's this website, PluggedInMag.com. Hmm. Lets me choose the movies I want to see intelligently. Tells me what's good about a movie, what's bad. Not only that, but it does the same thing with music and TV shows. What's wrong?
Well, we just walked out of a movie last week. Makes me wish I'd checked it out first. Plugged In, huh?
PluggedInMag.com. Make sure you get the address right.
Visit PluggedInMag.com for current movie, music, and television reviews. PluggedInMag.com, helping you navigate through the maze of popular culture.
Dr. Ron Paul. More than 4,000 babies delivered. A man of faith, committed to protecting life.
This whole notion of life not being valuable just is something I was never able to accept. I happened to walk into an operating room where they were doing an abortion on a late pregnancy. They lifted out a small baby that was able to cry and breathe, and they put a little bucket and put it in the corner of the room and pretended it wasn't there. I walked down the hallway and a baby was born early, slightly bigger than the baby that they just put in a bucket. They wanted to save this baby. So they might have had 10 doctors in there doing everything conceivable. Who are we to decide that we pick and throw one away and pick up and struggle to save the other ones? Unless we resolve this and understand that life is precious and we must protect life, we can't protect liberty. I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
When the truth is found to be...
Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's dime, toll free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Welcome back to the show. James Edwards here. Keith Alexander just leaving. I don't know if a little bit of that bled over. I was having a little fraternal conversation with my good and just fraternity brother, co-host Keith Alexander. Thank you, Keith, for coming in tonight, buddy. We'll catch you next week. I know you're going to be listening on the AM dial as you drive home tonight to the interview that's unfolding here. Yeah. Keith's going to be listening to his favorite show, he said, on the way home. Ramsey Paul, our guest, when he tunes in, he'll be listening as we continue with the YouTube sensation, Ramsey Paul. During that right before that last commercial break, I was asking you, you know, you can tell that some of it's improv. How much time do you spend on each video coming up with the material? How much of it's scripted? How much of it's off the cuff once the camera starts rolling?
Oh, rarely I have a script. I mean, I might write something on a napkin, just high level.
Really?
Yeah, because I typically have no idea what I'm going to do. You know, I do my videos on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and usually I have no idea when I wake up. I just look at the news and, you know, look at Drudge Report and some of the websites. And then I just think of a story, and then I just think of maybe take a little interesting angle on it. So, and then I just like to go with it. So I don't really put any time in the script. I prefer it when I do it kind of live with something. For example, a couple of years ago, there's a great story. There's this guy had a diner in the South, and it might have been in Nashville, actually, where you are. But anyway, he was going to be really politically correct, and he was going to give everyone 30% off if you bring someone of the other race in.
I think I remember a story like that.
Yeah, it's hilarious. And so I said, you know, I got to call this guy. So because I just called him. I said, hey, you know, and I called him, and I got the manager, and so you know, it was all improv. But it was a great interview because I was able to ask him, well, what does it mean? I know this Japanese girl, but she's only half Japanese. Does that mean I get 15% off or 30%? And he's like, well, I don't know. I think you still get 30. I'm like, oh, well, how about if they're Jewish? And he's like, well, I think Jewish, you know, they're a religion. I'm like, well, no, I have a friend. His name's Ben Bernanke, and I don't think he's religious. But I know Ben. He wants a discount. I mean, that's his type.
I'm glad you brought that up. But this is another thing, folks. Again, I got to tell you this real quick before I accentuate your point. You talk about just waking up and finding something. I mean, sometimes, you know, we have to do this during the week. You know, we have two or three articles or our takes on articles that we'll post every day at our website. But sometimes, you know, it's just a slow news day. Nothing's speaking to me. Nothing's motivating me to get out there and work up an article. So, yeah, some days it's just hard to find something. And if we're ever short on content, I go straight to your website. I find one of your newest videos. We put them in, and we do that about once or twice a month, to be honest with you. So you actually should be getting some sort of a kickback from this show for helping us to fill content on our website when we're not able to do it on our own. But this is something he does, ladies and gentlemen, in his videos that I think is absolutely, again, just a riot. You'll find somebody that's cowing to political correctness, like this diner, for instance, that you just mentioned, or in one of your videos this week. You know, the Super Bowl is coming up, so they're worried that there's going to be an increase in sex trafficking, human right. sex trafficking in Indianapolis, the site of the Super Bowl. So you called up the office. You know, they want people to snitch if they see right. somebody walking around with a young lady, and you think that they might be a suspect of sex trafficking. You gotta call up this number, and you'll call up the people that are doing this stuff, and you'll do your best to make a joke of them, but they take it all too seriously.
Yeah, it's fun doing it that way. And a lot of people don't understand my videos because I do a lot of satire. And some people, especially in foreign countries, sometimes people don't understand satire, especially in Asia or whatever, because they don't really have that concept. So, but a lot of people understand what I'm doing because I don't always do my videos straight. I sometimes pretend to be something else than I am just to make a point.
Right, right.
So.
Well, folks, when you go to his website, understand that this is the case, which I picked up on it instantly, and it's, again, what makes it so enjoyable is that, and truly, it's what they hate more than anything. The purveyors of cultural Marxism, political correctness, they hate to be laughed at. They want to be taken deathly serious because it is the new state religion or right. superstition, if you will. So, you know, they hate for people to mock them, and you do it better than anyone, honestly, that I've ever seen. How many videos have you made so far? Like I said, I came to know your work a little over a year ago, but a little less than a year ago, I guess it has been now. You said you've been going since 2008. How many videos does that constitute?
Oh, hundreds. I do three a week, but and some of my old ones I deleted because looking back at them, I didn't really like the production quality.
You improve your work, obviously.
Yeah, is a different focus I had, or what? Or like I said, the earlier videos, there a lot of them were very kind of personal and private because I didn't really mean to everyone in the world to see it. So I kind of removed that because, you know, some of my family and stuff, I don't want to get them involved. So, you know, because, you know, it's just something that I do. So, but yeah, there's hundreds out there, and it's been a fun experience, and I enjoy doing them, that's for sure.
Which ones or which topics receive the largest number of views? Have there been any? I mean, you get thousands of views on any given one that you do.
Right.
So you've got a big built-in audience to begin with, but are there any topics or a couple of videos that have just really went viral?
Yeah, the that English tram lady, I got
right,
it's
right.
near 400,000 views now on that one, my response. And because that really hit a chord, because that really, especially in England, they're being replaced. The white British are being replaced. And I think a lot of them feel that way, but they feel like they shouldn't feel that way. So when you touch on something that people are not confident on, they get sometimes very angry, and a lot of people got really angry with my video on that one. Because if you're confident on a subject, if someone should disagree with you, you're like, yeah, what the heck, you know, I don't care. But if you're not really quite sure of what you believe, it can get you very angry, and that's really what happened. Because so a lot of people are really starting to doubt this whole, is it really good to have unrestricted immigration into a country like England? Is it really enriching the country? And a lot of those people are thinking, well, maybe it really isn't. Now, it's tricky in England because unlike the United States, we still have the First Amendment. But in England, you can be arrested if you say the wrong thing politically.
Which she was.
Yeah, exactly. She just criticized, you know. And I did a video that also got a lot of views that same week that she got arrested. If you remember, she was complaining about immigrants, and
right.
you know, she's a lower class woman, and she wasn't the most, but she wasn't like William Buckley, right, on Firely Mind. She was a little bit cruder. But that same time she did that, she got arrested for that. But there was, during that same week, there was a white lady that was attacked by three Somali immigrants, and they called her a white slag, and they were using racial slurs, and the judge in England released the Somali immigrants, saying, well, they're new, they can't handle their alcohol well. So the Somali immigrants actually physically attacked a white girl, ended up getting no penalty, and this lady, she was thrown into prison just for saying words, just speaking.
I want to remind everyone of what you're talking about here. I'm sure most people already know this was a huge story a couple of weeks ago. You had this woman on a tram in the United Kingdom, and she got into a pretty colorful disagreement with some non-white immigrants. And because she used some language that wasn't approved of, she goes to jail. Just for language, mind you. And it's a woman to boot. So it's not like she posed a great physical threat to these people. But she was just saying, you know, how bad, how they're turning the country into a flop house and things of that nature. She goes to jail. Meanwhile, the very same week, you've got non-white Somali immigrants who physically assault a woman, and they get off without any sort of punishment. And I just want to say this too, while we're on the subject. You said that video you did about the English tram lady reached nearly 500,000 views. Ladies and gentlemen, this should go to serve as an inspiration to all of you. We always talk about everyone doing their part. I do my part. You do your part. Together, collectively, we may be able to reach some people. This is one man. What our guest tonight has been able to do with one single video. Keep in mind, he has hundreds of them, all of them reaching thousands of people. But here's just one that went huge. It was a bestseller, if you will, a number one hit. 500,000 people. That's 500,000 people who came to know his thoughts. And folks, his thoughts very closely mirror our own. And that's, just another reason why I'm such a fan of his work. We got to take a break. We got two more segments with Ramsey Paul. Checking it out on the internet, RamseyPaul.com. YouTube sensation. We'll be right back.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who bleeds the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Are you looking for literature from authors who aren't ashamed of their European-American heritage? Are you looking for books that don't shy away from the forbidden facts? You used to look all over the internet for these books, but you can now find them all at the same place, LighthouseLiterature.com. Whether you're looking for rare classics from the great thinkers or the latest and most popular books from guys like me, Lighthouse Literature is your trusted source for the best books at the best prices. For a limited time, you can get my new book, Racism Schmacism, from Lighthouse Literature for only $10. When you make a purchase from www.lighthouseliterature.com, you're helping support dedicated real-world advocates and activists. So, what are you waiting for? Surf on over to lighthouseliterature.com. A bright light for the right.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
They don't cry. To get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the show. We've got two more segments tonight with our featured guest for the evening, a man making his debut appearance on the political cesspool, one that we hope will be followed up with many, many more, Ramsey Paul. Again, his internet website, ramzpaul.com. You can find him on YouTube all too easily. We learned just a second ago that he has hit a nerve with the cultural Marxists with some of his videos, received a big volume of response and views at YouTube with several of them. What other videos besides the English tram lady have really set the liberals on fire that you've made?
Well, I did a video about Tim Wise. I'm not sure if you're familiar.
Oh, yes.
Anyway, when the Republicans won the last election in the midterm elections or whatever, he got drunk some night and just wrote this screed about, you know, well, you white people, you better just enjoy it now because soon your heart will be stopping and, you know, right, your time is limited. And it's just like a real hateful screed. And I thought, you know, this would be interesting. What if someone just, wherever you have the word white, where he's wrote the word white, what if you put the word Jew on there, you know? And so I just said, okay, I'm going to read this. And I read it like, okay, this is something from Goebbels that was written in 1932. And then I read it, and I read everything that Tim Wise wrote, except I replaced the word, you know, white with Jew. And then I said, wow, this sounds terrible, doesn't it? And, you know, most people think, wow, yeah, that is just hardcore. And I said, but it wasn't him. You know, it wasn't Goebbels. It was Tim Wise. And,
and he was talking about white people. You know, he said that. Yeah. And it elicited, I mean, really, I mean, it obviously got some national press, but nothing to the extent it would have been had the roles been reversed as you did it.
Right. And so what happened that the there's some people that they did a DMCA complaint on that, saying they try to get that video down, and YouTube has to take it down at that point because it's a legal thing. But most people, they don't have the resources, they don't think they'll challenge it, but I do have some resources to challenge this legally. And because you got to be careful, if you do a false claim, you can be liable yourself. And so I challenged that, and I won it, and I got the video back up. So that was kind of an interesting one because they try to censor it, but I won that battle. So
hey, congratulations on that.
Yeah, I encourage people to do that. Never just be passive. Always fight back when someone does something like that that's wrong. So that got a lot of views. And I did another video. It was kind of fun. I pretended to be a liberal over a period of years that had a daughter, and I do have a daughter, that wanted to, you know, send this child to school, and it was a good school, but it just lacked diversity. And then I said I was on the board, and then we need to get more diversity. And then I just showed how things, you know, progress there. And a lot of people thought I was real, you know, I was doing a real video over a period of years, but that got a lot of views too, because it really shows kind of the hypocrisy of the liberals, white liberals. They always say they want diversity, but they always try to get away from it.
Well, and, you know, you did another one of those, alternate reality takes on a matter. Just, I believe, what, last week, 2 weeks ago, you did the Ramsey Paul take on the Pat Buchanan MSNBC ta-da-ta, which, of course, we've been in the thick of since October, it looks like. So that's another one where it's kind of like the Tim Wise thing. You just replaced white and black, and it's a whole new story.
Yeah, I just did everything backwards, and I assumed that it was instead of Pat Buchanan, who's on MSNBC, I said this white group, hate group, was trying to get Al Sharpton off, and so I just reversed everything, and I did some things in the background. I reversed, I was wearing my shirt backwards, I think.
I noticed that. You were drinking out of the upside-down mug and everything else.
Yeah, I was just trying to make a point that everything is really upside down, so it's real easy to make fun of these people, the culture Marxists, because all you have to do is just switch everything around, and if you did the exact same thing but reverse the roles, it would be considered horrible. And we see that all the time. It's just endless. You know, for example, that white girl that was attacked in the Portland bus by all the blacks. And if that had been reversed, it would be, Katie Couric would still be crying. There'd be people out there. There'd be talks that we need to have a, you know, racial reconciliation. We need dialogue. Which, when they say they want dialogue, they mean they want white people to apologize, is what they mean.
That's the dialogue they want.
Yeah, that's what they mean by dialogue. So it's easy to do that, to make fun of all this. So, and it's fun. I just enjoy doing it because I'm not really selling anything, or I'm not a politician. I'm, like I said, I'm just an American with a camera, right?
Did you know, I think we covered this already, but I just want to reiterate the point. You knew going into this, when you started this in 08, that you wanted to infuse humor and satire into it rather than just do matter-of-fact takes on the news?
Yeah, because I consider one of the greatest cultural Marxists, and I don't mean great meaning in a good person, but effective, was not like Trotsky. It was Norman Lear, who in the 70s was able to get the cultural Marxist message out in shows like All in the Family and other sitcoms that were kind of funny, because that really responds to people. People respond to things that are entertaining and amusing and funny to listen to, and they don't really like so much, you know, the preaching to the choir type of thing where someone gives a speech. So that's kind of what I did. And I also did it for my own amusement because I like to make fun of things. And the guys I used to hang around with, we'd sit around with beers and shoot stories and make fun. So that was the reason I got into it. And I think that message, the way of doing things, can be a little bit more effective than just a straight, you know,
well, it is.
My opinion.
It is. And it's, again, one of the major reasons I gravitated to what you're doing is because it is so unique. It is so fresh. And let's face it, as we said a few minutes ago, I believe that the cultural Marxists hate being mocked. And at the same time, we need that comic relief, too. I mean, it's a pretty dire situation out there for the founding stock. I mean, there are a lot of things not going the way that they should be. And there's a lot of things against us going against us right now. But to be able to laugh at some of these problems is almost therapeutic on some levels. And that's, again, something that you're able to provide. Have you received any media attention? I know you're beginning to make the rounds. Richard Spencer had you on a few weeks ago, I know, and then you're on with us tonight. Have you received any media attention above and beyond maybe the talking heads of the paleoconservative movement, the right, libertarian, whatever you want to call it?
No, just indirectly. Sometimes people reference my videos. I think they've referenced it in regards to you, too. There's some controversy. I forget who it was. I apologize. But it was Mother Jones magazine was saying you had a sheriff on, and they're trying to discredit him because, you know, you're – you know, they call your show a white supremacist show or whatever.
Yeah.
And they said, oh, he had a video linked to the show that was making fun of East St. Louis, which is primarily African American. That was my video.
That was you. That was you. Yes. And I remember that video you did.
Yeah.
I actually remember, I just read, that was actually written in January, that Mother Jones article.
Yeah.
I just read it 2 days ago, and I'm actually going to be talking about it in the third hour tonight. So it's just almost uncanny you brought that up. So, but, yeah, that was the whole incident with Sheriff Paul Bebue. Listen, you go to our website and read that sordid tale. I mean, that could be the subject of a Ramsey Paul thing coming up, but that was a thick story, involved John McCain and a bunch of other things. But, yeah, Paul Bebue came on. And anyway, we'll talk about that in the third hour. But I just can't believe you mentioned that, because I just found out about that article 2 days ago, even though it was a couple of months old. And I'm going to be talking about it here in the third hour. But back to you for now. How do you – again, we're talking about thousands and thousands of people, sometimes hundreds of thousands of people, seeing a single video that you produce. I mean, folks, these are amazing numbers. And let me tell you something. Not everybody can do it. It is incredibly hard to have anyone visit your website, watch your video. It isn't just something that anybody can do. You put something up, 500,000 people see it, no problem. It's incredibly difficult to do. You would never know how hard it is. You can never understand how hard it is until you get into media and try to become successful. Thankfully, we've been able to do it. Ramsey Paul's certainly been able to do it. Others have, but many more have not. How do you market the work? How did it catch on so much?
Well, I really started. It's kind of interesting. If you want to see what started it, I did a video in 2008 called "The Truth." I called it, and it only got it like 800 views. But it at that point is really where I kind of changed. I really said in the video, "What if you just, you know, be honest and just say things like that are really happening out there instead of trying to be politically correct or use code words or whatever?" And so that really, what I think, why people like the videos is they're. Even though I use a lot of satire, ironically, though, they're all very true. What I speak about is what I believe in, and I don't try to hide from my beliefs. And I think it resonates with a lot of people, because a lot of people – that I talk to in what I call the real world, they hold very similar beliefs to what we do. It's, you know, what I call myself as a nationalist, meaning I believe everyone has a right to exist.
Sure.
Everyone has a right to self-determination. That's all it means. And most everyone, even of other races and stuff, they believe that because it's not kooky. It's not, you know, wearing a costume, you know, shouting slogans and all that. It's just having a right for our people to exist and to live the way we want to live. And that's not a hateful message. And I think most people can support that. And so I think that's why it's popular, because people believe that sort of thing.
I've said that to the point of exhaustion on this show. I say it probably once a week, if not more. And I truly believe that. You're talking about real people, working class America, middle Americans. I do believe, and I don't think I'm being naive in saying this because I've been around long enough to know, I think the majority of Americans still fundamentally believe in a lot of the things we have to say. It's just a matter of making them fashionable, making them in vogue, and you're going a long way to doing that. Folks, we've got to take a break. Last segment with Ramsey Paul coming up right after this.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages, American Heritage School in American Fork.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Political Cesspool Radio Program. Hope you're enjoying, as much as I am, this interview with Ramsey Paul. Encourage everyone listening tonight, check out his website, ramzpaul.com. If that's too much for you to remember, all you got to do is go to our website. You know you got that in your favorite places if you're listening online tonight, thepoliticalcesspool.org. There at the promo, at the top of the blog roll, the promo for tonight's show has got a direct link right over to ramzpaul.com. If you want to find it, there's no reason you shouldn't be able to. talking with him tonight about his incredible work, the satire, the humor that he infuses within all of these videos, some of which have become enormously well-viewed, up to 500,000 unique views on YouTube and so much more. Let me ask you this. Any long-term projects underway? You said you come out with new episodes of the Ramsey Paul Show every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. You got anything above and beyond your standard fare? You going to do like the X-Files and make a movie, a documentary, something different?
No, I think that three's enough. That's yeah. I started actually a couple years ago. I did one every day, but that got to be too much.
Oh, yes. No way.
It was, affecting the quality, and I was like, I can't do it. And I love doing them, but sometimes when I don't have my idea, I'm kind of like you. I'm like, oh, geez, what am I going to do today? And I get
tough.
Stressed, and then usually something always comes up, though. Just kind of amazing how that works. So I have a lot of fun doing it. It's, like I said, kind of a hobby of mine, and it's just,
But it's always rewarding. God knows we don't make money
right.
Toiling for the cause, but it's always rewarding to know that something that you are so passionate about is well received, or at least well viewed. I mean, we make news all the time. Our name may be mud, but at least we're getting out there, and open-minded people can come and draw their own conclusions after they come and check us out. And I know you've undoubtedly woken a lot of people up to the truths about what's going on with political correctness. And that's one thing, you got to give them this. There's never really a shortage. We might have a hard time finding it sometimes, but there's never a shortage of things to make fun of from the left, because their entire ideology is just overflowing with double standards and hypocrisy. A couple of things this week, I'm not sure if you've seen them yet. These are stories that we're tracking, and we're going to put some articles up next week. We haven't even had the time to do so ourselves because of just some of these are fairly new stories, but a billboard up in Minnesota is something along. And this was a billboard that came with the mayor's endorsement of some Minnesota town. It's have you seen racism today? If you answer no, you must be white, as if only whites can be racist and all whites, are racist but never the victims of such a thing. And then also this pseudoscientific study proved that conservatives, if you have conservative beliefs, it's a result of a low IQ. Well, as we all know, when it comes to IQ, I believe in the hierarchy of it all, you have what? Jews, Asians, whites, Hispanics, and then blacks. So this must mean, according to this scientific research, that blacks are the most conservative people in the world. In fact, they are reactionary, in fact. You know what I'm saying? But of course, what it's meant to say is that if you're a conservative, and it goes on to tie in the whole racist gambit, if you're a conservative or a racist, they use these as interchangeable words, it must be a result of low IQ. Well, that kind of backfired on them when you look at true scientific statistics about IQ. Have you heard about any of those stories?
Yeah. And it's kind of funny because there's double standards there, because half the time they say, well, there's no really such thing as IQ anyway. You can't measure IQ. It's because, the tests don't go like they want. So they always say, no, IQ tests don't mean anything. And then now all of a sudden they're trying to make up this IQ thing. And the same thing with the race implication, because I heard about that billboard about, you must be white. But half the time they're saying, there's no such thing as a white race. I don't know what you're
talking
about. When you say you're white, what does that mean? I don't even know what that means.
Well, race is a social construct, they say.
Yeah, exactly.
So therefore, if there is no such thing as race, how can one group of people be racist, because race doesn't exist, according to them?
So sometimes it exists, sometimes it doesn't exist. It depends on their point of view.
Yeah,
so.
And that's what I ask. I mean, what was the big deal about Barack Obama being elected president? I mean, he's not black because there's no races. Why did everybody get so excited? Why was that so historic?
Right. And I did a call on that because it really kind of confused me. And I saw a story. This was another video I did about a year ago. In Seattle, if you're a protected minority, they call it, you get preferences for government jobs. I think everyone knows that, right? And so in Seattle, the city of Seattle was just hiring, if you're African-American, they give you an advantage. So I called this organization and saying, well, how can I get registered as being an African-American? Because I think, they say everyone came out of Africa. There's a fun conversation I had with a lady.
Well, and that is absolutely funny. But there are some people, I've read about these instances before. Some people, there are white Africans, people were born in Africa. They're family's been there for generations, the colonists, particularly in South Africa, born in Africa. I mean, his great great grandparents were born in Africa. They've been down there for hundreds of years. they are truly Africans. I mean, how else could you qualify it? But then, you know, they'll come over here, list themselves as African Americans, and then they'll get disqualified, even though they truly are more African American than the blacks that are born here. But they'll write on their application African American, and then they'll get bounced as soon as they find out they're white. I mean, come on.
Right. Yeah, because the left's in a bind because they don't want to admit, you know, there's three basic racial groups, you know, the Caucasian, Mongoloid, and Negroid, and they don't want to admit that they exist. But at the same time, they want to give special privileges to people that are supposedly don't exist. So it's just so fun to make fun of because they're so illogical. And maybe it's because I have a low IQ, but I think it's just hilarious how they can't keep their dogma straight. So,
well, it's impossible to keep straight because it's rooted in nothingness.
Right. Well, they if you read Orwell, 1984, they believe in doublethink, where they hold two mutually opposing point of views at the same time. But it doesn't bother them because they don't think about it.
Well, that's right. Well, that's exactly what's going on. I mean, Orwell had no. I mean, you could have never. He would have never thought he would have been so prophetic. I don't guess because I mean, everything he wrote about has become true and then some. But do you think the white people are getting the message that our existence is threatened by the increasingly hostile minorities who still think they are victims of racism?
Yeah, I think people are becoming more aware of the situation, and the thing about white people, and because I am one, I always say some of my best friends are white people. I don't see us as being as evil as everyone makes us out to be in general because, you know, they talk about white flight, but most white people, they just want to kind of raise their family and do their jobs. And I've never met a white person, honestly, and they say they're everywhere, but I've never met someone that hates someone because of skin color. They may not want to be around a certain group because of their tendency to engage in violence or whatever, but not because of skin color or anything like that.
That's right.
And so we have a white flight, but how is fleeing a situation, how is that an aggressive act? I don't really see that as being aggressive. Most, you would think, based on the media, that there's these roving gangs of white men that are terrorizing peaceful African Americans. And I just don't see it. Maybe they're not reporting on it, but I just don't see it. I see it the other way around. And so I think white people in general just want to live peacefully. They don't want to hurt other races, and they don't necessarily hate other races, and they're okay with, for example, the Japanese living in Japan. They don't have any problem with that, most white people. And that's why, according to going back to one of your earlier questions, I think most white people, you know, they don't want to be considered a white supremacist because most whites don't hold that position. I don't hold that position. Most any whites I know don't hold that position
right,
of being, we need to put down other races, we need to exploit it, we need to put them into slavery. I don't know any whites like that.
I don't either.
I've never met one. And most people, they just want to live peacefully and they want to have their own areas.
And it's natural that you would want to live around people who share your history and culture. I mean, that's only natural.
Right, and it's only a problem, though, if white people do that, right? Have you ever heard, and maybe you have because you're connected with the media, but I've never heard like the media say, you know, we have a big problem in Nigeria. Pretty much all the Nigerian politicians are black.
Listen, I've never heard that once.
They need diversity. They need more white people. Oh, this is just terrible. But you hear that about Europe. It's always one way. It's never, even in this country, you have, oh, boy, we need to get diversity in this town. There's not enough, you know, ethnic minorities. But you never hear about, you know, the problem with Detroit is it's all black.
You never will hear that.
No, exactly. So,
And in fact, the problems that the all-black areas have are somehow tied to whites that aren't there and never, in some cases, have been.
Right. And actually, in one of the videos I did, I think it was about my movie review of Waiting for Superman. And I don't know if you're familiar with that movie, but it was put out by the educational establishment saying basically what African-American kids need are, like, white people to help teach them or make them better. And one of the biggest tragedies, I think, in this country has been is we spent, I don't know, probably $1 trillion in so many years of white liberals trying to make Africans into white people. They're sure that if they just dig deep enough, there's a white person there, and that these African Americans are broken and they need to be fixed and made into white people. And I consider that so patronizing. It's like, no, they're fine. They're different, but they're fine. You don't need to fix them. And we're fine, and that's why you have nations, and that's why I'm a nationalist. Is it doesn't mean you hate people, but in many ways, I'm sympathetic with African Americans. They deserve to have their own area, their own country, their self-determination, as we do. And it prevents some of that exploiting on both sides. So,
no, I'm with you 100%. Yeah. And listen, I want to tell you that this hour has gone by far too quickly. My only regret in tonight's interview is that we didn't extend it for longer. But we hope to have you back very soon. And
right.
Folks, if you're just tuning in, you tuned in late this hour, you didn't get a chance to hear the entirety of our discussion with Ramsey Paul, our featured guest tonight. It's podcast archive a couple of hours after tonight's show. Check it out there at thepoliticalcesspool.org. And my friend, thanks so much for coming on tonight. Let's make this a regular happening.
Yeah, it's fun. I'd like to do it again. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, my friend. It's entirely our pleasure. Ramsey Paul, everybody. Check him out at ramseypaul.com. We're going to take a break. Third and final hour forthcoming right after these words from our sponsors. I'm James Edwards, and I'll see you in a few minutes. And it's me.